Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast. Scotty and Matt here again. And this week, Scotty, we've actually got a lot of good things to talk about, but let's start it off with the Josh Reynolds news. Came out yesterday, Josh Reynolds has announced his retirement and will play his last game for the Bulldogs at Belmore on Saturday against North Sydney Bears. Emotional press conference. I don't know if you've seen it, mate. But yeah, on the YouTube channel, Bulldogs YouTube channel, if you haven't seen it, make sure you watch it. If you're listening to this, you're definitely going to want to go watch that. It's a bit of a hard watch because of how emotional Joshy was and is about being proud to be a Bulldog. It's going to be a great day on Saturday for us to be able to go out there and celebrate his career and his achievements and what he's done for the club.
What a player, what a Bulldogs junior, a Bulldogs through and through, bleeds blue and white. You could tell that from his first stint, never looked right when he was at the Tigers. And then, you know, this his return, I mean, it's unfortunately doesn't last the season, but to see him back in the top grade where he's played a few games at 5'8 and off the bench, I thought, to be fair, I mean, until Toby got there, I thought he was in our best task combination with Birdo, to be honest, with you. So, competitor, warrior, the reason I love rugby league, he was someone, you know, watching him play, you know, in the, might not be the most talented player, but God, you know, when you went out with him, he would give his heart and soul, his body on the line for you. And that's the type of player you always want to play with. So, those are the players you need in your team. He'll put their body on the line. He'll tackle. He'll run through. He'll try to run through anything for you. He'll try to tackle anything for you. He'll try to move things. Little body, but God, he would do anything for the Bulldogs jersey and that Bulldogs emblem. So,
yeah.
What a career.
True legend of the club. It's kind of fitting he gets to have his last game at Belmore. Unfortunately, it's not the NRL, but, you know, the scene where he was carried off the field, the scene of the Reynolds, the famous Reynolds chant, of course. If any current or modern-day player is linked to Belmore, it would be him.
It's just his area. He's got the artwork outside the stadium. He's the memorial on the wall there, just outside the stadium at Belmore. You know, he's got a lot of career highlights. He was a part of the team, yes, that's right. The number six, he broke Queensland's heart. He stopped the run. The Queensland thought they were going to have this never-ending run, and who was going to break it? And Reynolds was your number six. Origin player, city representative. He played in a couple of grand finals. Unfortunately, you know, not to get one. He played in a very successful period at the Bulldogs. It was number six. He was one of the better number sixes in the competition. He was loved by anyone who wore the Bulldogs. Like, I think as well, one of the only players, he had that injury run at the Tigers. And this is a weird highlight to bring on the Bulldogs fan podcast, but he was coming, returning game. I don't know if you remember this. He had a core stadium returning for the Tigers against the beloved Bulldogs. And in the second half, they brought him on. And the announcer, it was good done by the Tigers, the Tigers home game. And was like, you know, whatever number he was, maybe 17 or 14. Josh Reynolds is on and he's, you know, on the field. And a standing ovation went around from the Tigers fans, the Bulldogs fans. Got a lot of love. And you have to be a special player to get that reception from both set of fans to get on the field. So he's done it all.
Good to see the club really pushing the New South Wales Cup game this week for him as well. In communication that's come out this week. And I'm not sure what I'm expecting crowd-wise for the New South Wales Cup game. It is quite early. The Bulldogs club has said that 17,000 plus expected for the day. So it'll be really interesting to see how many people are there early. But I'll be one of them bright and early on Saturday morning out at Belmore, getting ready for Josh's farewell.
I'm pretty sure it's the sellout sign's about to go on already.
Yeah.
But if it's not on already, actually, like I was looking at yesterday, the tickets were very, very limited, more limited than a Taylor Swift concert at the moment.
Pop culture, yeah.
I'll shake that one off and I'll continue. There you go. I won a bit. No, but the tickets are limited. I jumped on Ticketek to take a quick look at it, and it had like that 60 seconds almost, I think, thing. It's like, pick your tickets and get out type things.
Yeah. Well, outside of things like New South Wales Cup grand finals or that sort of thing, it might be the biggest crowd at a New South Wales Cup game.
Ever.
Who knows?
I understand Saturday, 3 o'clock, ideally. You're a kid in sport. They need the weekend off. I'm sorry. Have the weekend off, because local legend Joshy Reynolds, this is a moment he deserves to have. And this is a moment that kids, I know you muck around and say, the kids need to play footy and stuff, and they heard years of COVID, but they need to see this reception he'll get when he exits the field for the last time. I'm sure there'll be a presentation at full time for the NRL, but don't worry about that. Get there early. Watch his final game in the Bulldogs jersey where he belongs. Let's get him over for a try. Let's see if we get a grubby special out there, which I know he will, heart and soul. If he does get on the interchange bench, as often or not, he does end up in the interchange bench. Let's get that Reynolds chant on the grandstand going. Let's get it special, because remember, he loves that. He told you he loves it. So let's get that Reynolds chant going. Let's get over 10,000 there.
Yeah.
Get the kids. Definitely. Sorry. Tell the kids this is more special. And this will inspire you to be a Bulldog. So don't worry about playing this Saturday. Have a weekend off. Get those bumps and bruises for the young kids who are playing footy on the weekend. Get them play next weekend. That will inspire them to be a Bulldog. So get there.
I'm sure it will be an event that we will all remember for a very long time. Normally, Scotty would jump into the result of the weekend and what a result it was. We'll talk about that more shortly. But seeming we started with a bit of news. There's a couple of rumours going around. Reported on Tino Fasuamaulawi a couple of years ago. We're booing him. This week there's rumours that he's going to sign, I think it was a four-year deal for $4 million, including a investment in Laundry Group or hotels of Laundry Group. Let's not get too much into the detail there, but let's just quickly touch on what we think about possible idea of Tino coming to the Bulldogs.
One of the best props in the game, isn't he? I'd say it's props or lock. I guess he's. I mean, I'd like him as a prop.
Middle, if you want to go under the loose terminology.
But I still like your locks being a bit more the agile forward or the more versatile forward.
Yep.
Just in my view, but middle, big body, big runner, captain of the Titans. Very impressed of his captaincy. Not impressed of him. With the Birdo situation, but it's Origin, sometimes the Queenslanders, they see that blue jersey and they get upset just by the look of it.
Well, we talked about it at the World Cup, they buried the hatchet and played for Australia, so I'm sure that would be fine.
No, yeah, I'm just saying that, when they
play Origin, trading mishaps.
I wasn't happy with their thing, but then saying that, it's Origin, he thought his mate got done dirty, he stands up for his mate, which happened to be, he knew he was in the wrong. Completely in the wrong, but stands up for his mate. That's the quality. Good middle, like a great middle, good offload, meters galore.
Yeah, well, look, my opinion on it is that who wouldn't want to have Tino in their team, right? He's really an elite player of the game, one of the best in his position. So you definitely would want him. I can't really see him leaving the Gold Coast, though, to be honest. I know he had that deal. The clause with Holbrook as coach, Fafita as well. But I don't see a player like that turning down the opportunity to work with Des Hasler. And the Titans are probably a little bit more progressed at this stage than the Bulldogs, making finals and going on to do something in the competition. So I think if he came to the Bulldogs, it might be a couple of steps back for him in regards to possible premiership or playing finals football, at least. And it's not like they've got rid of Holbrook for a rookie coach or a coach that has had a poor record elsewhere. It's Des Hasler, one of the best records in the modern game. Took multiple premierships, multiple clubs to grand finals. I can't see those boys turning down the opportunity to stay there and be coached by Des.
Do we know, though? Here's a weird one. This might have nothing behind it, but it's a Scott chucking something out. Toby Sexton. We're friends with Tino, you reckon?
Maybe. Fingers in the ear. Come Great. Undefeated.
Just saying, you're surprised. Having my time with the footy team and stuff and seeing some unusual people who click get along really well. Like, you look at someone like Tino and Toby and don't think, despite the names being similar, I guess the first names at least, thing. But, you know, the footy team can make a lot of different people click together really well.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, no, I'm just saying, is Toby, you know, another draw card, you know Toby? I mean, you know Birdo quite well from a fight there in Ashford. So, I don't know. Maybe Toby, you know, never know. Toby might be the last thing to pull him.
Right. Who knows? The other bit of reported on news as far as player signings go came out today. There's a photo doing the rounds, Sydney Morning Herald and the Daily Telegraph, of Gus Gould along with Peter Sharp. Meeting with Blake Taff in a restaurant. I'll start with that one, Scotty. I've been a big fan of Blake Taff for a while. I think even we said on this podcast, the first time Bulldogs played Souths, when we're talking about this World Cup, Blake Taff is a first grader right now. Is a really good fullback, really great talent, and I believe if he was at another club, not stuck behind Latrell Mitchell, he'd be easily slotting in as an NRL fullback.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see it happen. But I feel a lot more better with Taff at fullback and Crichton in the centres.
Yeah. You get Taff for cheap too. Well, cheaper because less games. But I look at Blake Taff and I agree with you. I think if he's almost at any other club, majority of them, at least 8 or 9 or so, he'd be regular number one in your team. Just happens to be behind, you know, someone named Latrell Mitchell. It's a bit unlucky. Another thing about him is, too, if you look at a lot of things around the player, you know, he's good fullback, good skills, goal kicker, got all the fullback traits, good passing game, good running game, can put a kick in. He's got everything on the game. But if you look at some of his off-the-field stuff, I don't know if people are very familiar, his community work is top-notch, a bit like Toby Sexton as well. Both very good at the community. So you look at both sides of the, as a club and an image, if you look at caring about, if you're caring about your branding, especially if a team that we've got Bronson Cherry coming to, and you're caring about your branding, that guy, Blake Taff, is the type of guy that does a lot in the community as well. So he's not just a great footy player. He's also very well, and he's very articulate the way he talks. He's very very comfortable in front of groups. I've been lucky to see him in some of his events. His time giving second to none. You can tell he actually genuinely enjoys being around and helping. Very, very polite. So it doesn't look like a thing. So, you know, he ticks the boxes on both sides. Like, he ticks every single box. So would I have him? In a heartbeat.
I would want him. Two fans of the Blake Taff here. Tilo, we'd love him, but we'd love to have him, I should say, but we're probably sitting on unlikely to happen.
Would you? So Luke Thompson's more likely gone. I think most people have accepted that, right?
There's actually been reports this week that he's been told that he will not be at the club next year, and there's a couple of other clubs, I think 3 clubs that I've seen currently chasing him.
Can you?
Wigan, St Helens, St George Illawarra.
Interesting. This is probably St George Illawarra, actually. I actually think he's a very good player when he's on the field. But would you be, this is just a weird one before we move on, if they told you Tevita Pangai has to go as well, if we have to cut Tevita at the end of the year and you get Tino, is that a yes to you?
Yeah, of course. You don't even think about that, do you? Sorry, like, we're not, no offence to Tevita, but you can't put, despite the fact that he played Origin this year, I don't think you can put Tevita Pangai Jr. and Tino Fasua Malawi in the same sentence as far as the level that they're on as players. Let's get to it, Scotty. We want to talk about it. On the weekend, the Bulldogs. What a difference a week makes. Beating South Sydney Rabbitohs 36 points to 32. Your thoughts? Let's start with you. Unfortunately, you couldn't be there, but the look of disappointment of missing out on a win, I can see it on your face. But let's go. Let's go, Forts. Because I'm actually, you know what we'll do, sorry, let's change it up. Before we get to our thoughts, let's get into the Player of the Year awards, because I think we'll be talking about a lot of players. So let's just go with our top, and yep. then whatever we don't, sorry, whoever's not in the top, we could then be free to talk about the rest of the performances as yep. we talk through the game. Okay, and that way we won't have to repeat ourselves. Let's start off with number one. Scotty, who have you got for 1 point?
Well, I've given this guy the nickname, and I'll see if we can use this podcast as a platform. Oh, 1 point, sorry. No, I haven't given this guy the nickname. So the 1 point, I've got to listen before I answer.
Yep.
The young gun, been screaming about him in top grade, and he's been able to retain his spot. And like he should, because every time he's put on a Bulldogs jersey, he's not let anyone down, and he's just been a wonderful asset to the club. Blakey Wilson.
Yep, fair call. What a night it was for Blake Wilson to get the a hat-trick. Yeah, he did the lawnmower, $5,000.
For the core stadium with ground staff, they said when he retired, job for him.
What a night for him, though, right? NRL hat-trick.
First try as well.
First try on that night. Yeah, what about that? The night you scored your first try, you get your first NRL hat-trick. I was a bit worried about him, to be honest, Scotty. I was thinking during the game, and he's getting a drop next week because Adam Carr's going to come in. The only way around that was perhaps shifting Carras to centre, and I'm glad that they went that way. So, yeah, well-deserved there. That puts Blake Wilson on 4 points for the season. That's not bad for a player who's played 3 or 4 games. I'll have to check that. But
one on the bench where he played 7 minutes or something, or 6 minutes, something.
How good is he going? Well, if Josh, that is not bad, the next player... I'll let you talk about him because I think you might have got your 2 points. You got my 1 point. He's also on 4 points for the year in the Player of the Year awards, purely because of a bonus point situation. Toby Sexton.
Yeah, so the nickname, I think this is a fantastic nickname, but it's not catching on. T-Bone, I reckon that's perfect.
It's been very what's the word? Divisive. It's causing division. I think people either really like it and think it's really funny, or it's the opposite. People are not warming to it at all so far. You can keep the credit for that one.
Yeah, well, if it goes bad, I don't want it to go good and you start to go, yeah, I was with him when he did it.
I was there from day one.
Yeah. No, but genuine halfback came through the Bulldogs system at one stage.
Yep.
Tough to double, I think. Played the one game with the Titans this year and absolutely killed it and broke his hand. I think it was in a win. He scored the match win and broke his hand doing it. So I've always been a big fan of him. He just calm, controlled. Made Burton play. He made Matt Burton play the Matt Burton we need. And you know, when you take that pressure off him, like, didn't Matt Burton look like Matt Burton of old? Again, I know he's very young in his career to say that, but it looked like he just had the weight off his shoulders. He had a genuine back with him. His kicks were pretty good, I think, apart from his first one. He butchered one, but
defense. Second one,
it was very early in the game.
His first kick was a cross the body, twisted to find space on the ground.
Yeah, that was actually
That was a good kick, and then... his next kick was about 5 minutes too long in the try area, caused a 7-tackle set. So started off with a good kick, then a shocker. But then from there, almost everything he touched was perfect. And I think what you said earlier, Scott, you said it as a passing comment, but it's the biggest point I can make in regards to Toby Sexton. A genuine halfback. And didn't that make the world of a difference? See him organising, playing both sides of the field. His kicking game was spot on. Like you said, he opened up Matt Burton, so Matt Burton could play his lateral game at 6. It was his best game in a long time as well. Unlocked his outside runners as well on the edges. Toby Sexton made a huge difference in the game. He's got a lot of media for it and a lot of credit for it. So he's got your 2 points. He's got my 1 point. But, yeah, instant difference. And I guess, you know, I love a genuine halfback, Scotty.
Yeah. So Hodko and Kamali, really.
Yeah.
Like, a very short stint. Hodko, And then, of course, Shifty Sean. Isn't that crazy?
Yep. And look, I haven't looked into stats this week or done anything like that. But, yeah, Toby Sexton, what a first performance in the blue and white. And to do it off 2 days of training.
Yeah.
In two sessions of training. And I'm not totally convinced that one of those sessions may have not been a captain's run.
Yeah.
Really, wasn't it? But he showed commitment to the team. He slot right in. Dare I say it, he looks like a Bulldog.
He does, doesn't he?
He does. I hope that he really makes this his own position and it goes on. But if he keeps doing up performances like that, a contract extension talks can't be far away, can they? He's doing that week in, week out. He's only signed to the end of next year, so one deal and 1 year and some change, if you will.
That's not why, when I looked at it, that's how I read it. It's funny you said it. I read it like that.
Yep. But yeah, just the way he was, I don't know how much you saw on TV, Scotty, when you watched it, but just be there at the game and watch him shift from one side of the field to the other. As members, being a Souths game, we're up at level 4, of course. Yep. Watch him slide from one side to the other. His organisation, his kicking was mostly spot on. He dived on a loose ball towards the end, stop it from going into the in-goal area. Yep. He scrambled. You can't really say much more for how good of a game he had. So let's hope that continues. Although, Scotty, you will notice that he didn't get my 2 points.
No, he didn't.
Reason being, and I don't know if this is going to shock you at all, but I've got 2 points, Jake Avarillo. Now, again, I haven't looked at stats. No. I am well aware that I think all these players did pretty well in the stats department. But when I was watching the game and everyone was rightfully cheering and talking up the performance of Toby Sexton, I thought the biggest difference in the team was the fullback compared to the week before. Jake Avarillo, the way he brought the ball back to begin with, caught the ball, bring it back to speed straight away. It looked like the Bulldogs had better organisation with him at the back. It's disappointing that he played, for me, it's disappointing that he played all year at fullback last year. Didn't get a crack to start the season this year. I know they went with Perham and I was supportive of that project until I wasn't about 6 or 7 weeks ago. But Jake Avarillo... and again, being at level 4, that high vantage point, to me, watching that game, the biggest difference from the weeks previous was the impact that Jake Avarillo had at fullback. And I, for one, am still devastated that he's going off to the Dolphins.
Mm.
Now, I know that it looks like we're going to have Sherry and Crichton in the centres and Taff at fullback. And you know what? Long term, perhaps I can understand why people would be excited by that. And perhaps it will be a really good thing for the club. And I'll be cheering for it to be that way as well, of course. But I love Bulldogs players. Leverell has always been one of those for me. He's always put in 100% effort, regardless of what position he's playing. He never had a real proper run at one position. We thought he was getting it at fullback, and then they threw him into centre. But yeah, he made a huge difference for me on the weekend. And he gets my 2 points.
Yeah, a good call. He played really well. He was pushing up. You were right. He was a very energetic fullback. He looked more comfortable. Like, to me, in weeks gone past, Hayes Perham looked like a person who looked like he was filling in, if I could say that.
He looked like a player that was losing confidence and not knowing where he could find it.
Yeah, but he looked like he was a winger or a centre. Yeah. You look the best fit. You look like a better fullback, by the look of you almost, without training. And, feel like... We've seen we've seen centers go to wing and then really butcher, the kick return or
They look unnatural. A pair of thing. We'll talk about him a bit later in this Wales Cup.
And then when you have someone who then backs themselves and believes themselves.
Yeah. And Avarillo had an
amazing. Yeah, the change. Like, it's massive. But that's another thing, too, is I don't like to buy into those group Facebook posts sometimes or.
Yeah.
Social media, I say, yep. Instead of breaking down everything. But isn't it funny how the fans have been calling for about 5-6 weeks that Avarillo should be a fullback? Brandon Burns should be playing more often. Blake Wilson should be in the starting side, so he plays. Jackson Topany should be starting at second row and not playing centre at every opportunity he gets.
Glad he played second row again.
Yeah, he did. Just wore a weird jersey. That they should be using less of Ockenball. Ockenball was more effective. when he was on the bench in the forwards, because when he got limited game time, he seemed to be more effective in his position and doing better output, I've heard someone say.
Well, you're running through the list, so let's finish off the Player of the Year segment so we can talk more broadly of the other players in the team. But just to give a roundup, top five or so looks this way now. Max King is still first on 13 points, but he's being chased down now. Matty Byrne and Jack Averillo both moved to 10 points. Anakar's on 9 points. Karaz and Waddell on 7 points, on 8 points, sorry. And Preston is there on 7 points. So Max King, maybe you spot up the top there. It's been there for, I don't know, forever. might be chased down there.
Maybe 6 to get it, I reckon.
Yeah. Okay. 36-22 was the score, Scotty. It was played in front of just over 16,000 people, which I didn't think was too bad, given the fact that it was on Origin weekend, both sides. Weekend.
It looked all right on TV though. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't bad. It just always like that one to be a minimum of 20.
Wasn't bad.
No Latrell Mitchell. I know he's injured.
He's at the 15 mark. So. I think that's still very quite good.
Well, I was going to say, one more point. I suppose the Bulldogs losing by the margin they did didn't really appeal to the away fan part, because the away fan part looked very bare. That was probably the difference to a normal South Bulldogs game.
Okay, Jacob Karaz on the weekend, he looked like he was moving a bit better too, Scotty. He started to have a bit more impact in the game. His lateral movement was good. Braden Burns, good performance as well. The new app has it all over the place. We've got to give a shout out to Ethan Quay Ward.
Yes, what a debut.
Debuted at centre. And tell you what, other weeks he would have got some points on the Player of the Year award. Scores his first try in the 55th minute. And looked like an NRL player the whole game. He was getting in there, getting involved in work. Throughout the whole game as well. He's only been with us for about 3 or 4 weeks as well, playing this World Cup from the Broncos. Terrific performance.
Does he look fierce though as well? He just looks like a footy player. He looks scary.
Try assist, 14 runs, 108 metres there. What a debut for Ethan Quay Ward. While we're on debuts, Jarrell Skelton got a few minutes at the end there as well. So congratulations to you, Jarrell. I think he made a mistake as soon as he got on the field, but he did some good stuff as well, almost.
Oh, yeah. He
played a part in the line break, too.
Yeah, that line break, he had no right to do it. And then he was making his absolute rip through him. And then it was almost Jarrell Skelton versus like what he's done in some New South Wales Cup, where it looks like sometimes nothing's happening.
Yeah.
And Skelton through. But yeah, well done to both of them. I just hope Skelton's family were in attendance.
They weren't. They were not, unfortunately. He did feel bad that because of the way of the debut, Skelton's family couldn't be there, unfortunately.
Yeah, but they had the jersey done up.
Yep.
Saying it could have been, which they must do for every 18th man. But yeah, that was the only thing I thought of straight away was part of me as a coach. I mean, you're there to win games, and that's what started. Yeah. And he probably made the right call to putting him on. But part of me would have been looking at that going, do you know what? I'll sit him out. But then in saying that, top grade, that could be his only chance for a long time.
When he had to come on the field, there was no other option really, was there? So at that time, yeah. Fantastic.
But
let's move the discussion to the forward pack, Scotty, because we've obviously with our awards and such talked a lot about the backs there, and rightfully so. But forward pack really stood up. Max King was good on the weekend. Reed Marnie had one of his better games, apart from a kick close to the line that was directed right at Rabideau. Ryan Sutton, unfortunately, only got through the 9 minutes before that incident happened. How did you see that one? Yeah, before we do, if you haven't heard, Ryan Sutton is home. There was no damage that was found. The only thing they were checking was nerve damage, but no structural damage and no muscular damage. It's the last report I've seen.
So I watched it, and I watched it off. Watched it delayed, but on a look at the live KO. So
yeah,
it was a live game.
Live cast, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That's I watched it. And I saw the hit at first, and I saw Ryan Sutton drop.
Yeah,
I was like, this is interesting, because I didn't see anything wrong with the tackle at first. I saw the hit, And I was like, where did this go wrong? Then I watched a replay again and went, oh, there's a bit of a shoulder to the head. And I thought, the second replay I looked at, it might have been the second replay. I went, okay, this is bad, but it's not. Souths don't have to worry about it. Like, it's nothing. And it was kind of like the bunker. The bunker, you know, they kind of had to intervene. They put him on report. I'm going to go for the penalty. And then, you know, he was sitting there for a while. And then the replays went on. And then you look at a different angle. And I looked at it and went, oh, that's a direct shoulder to the head. That's a direct shoulder to the head. I said, this looks worse. Like, from about the fourth or fifth time I'm looking at it, but this, I said, now this report's not good enough. This is not good enough. There's got to be some punishment here. A sitting was lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
after
in the crowd, Scotty, straight away, from the first replays, Bulldogs fans members went off, screaming out send off straight away. And then there was a huge disappointment when it was only put on reports. I don't know why it took longer to see what we saw at the ground. But yeah, definitely the South's player, I thought, left his feet with shoulder first. Direct contact with the head with force. Now, I do believe that most of the damage to Ryan Sutton came from Tautola later in the tackle, when he sort of crunched his head wrapping around in the tackle. However, every other tackle in the last 3 years that meets that description, left your feet, direct contact with the head with force, has been a sin bin, at least. I wanted to send off. I think I was the only one in the crowd that was upset when the sin bin happened, though, because everyone was cheering that they got what they wanted. I wanted to send off. Perhaps they might have thought the force wasn't enough for a send off.
I'm pretty sure Andrew Voss was commentating this game. I don't know. You were there, so you won't know. No, I'm just saying you were there. You won't know unless you watched the mini. But it could be Warren Smith. The reason I'm bringing this up is, when it first happened, they were like, oh, this, you know, looks terrible, and, you know, doing the right thing, wishing Ryan Sutton all the best and everything there. Then they looked at the replay and said, this needs to be more than just a report. So after the report, right?
Yeah.
And when it was a sin bin, and the Fox commentators, I'll just say the Fox commentators because I can't recall exactly which other two it was. It was a sin bin. They went on for ages. Absolutely ages. Why it took so long to get to the process, or why do they pull him out for a report, then a sin bin after? And that's starting to annoy me, is that they got the call they wanted. Yes, they might have jumped the gun with the process, but with all that time in the world they had while Ryan Sutton's getting treated, does it really matter?
Well,
I
haven't seen the commentary on that part. Even the mini didn't focus too much on it, but
it went on for ages saying they were more upset. They said it should have been done straight away, or they should have watched 10 replays before they pulled him across. And I'm like, they now haven't got the process.
I kind of get the feeling they're coming across, because being there in the stands, it felt like it took a very long time, and it looked like it was obvious to everybody else that should have happened.
But
the first time he put the player on report.
No compliment getting the call right.
Yeah. They're
getting the advice, because live, if Ryan Sutton got up then and wasn't injured, we probably, how quickly it happened.
Okay, interesting to be true.
Yeah. What was that? Sorry.
Okay, Jason, to be true.
No, I'm just saying
he said that in the press conference. If Ryan Sutton gets up, it's not a sin bin.
Oh, no, but all I'm saying is, no, it should be a sin bin. I'm not defending that at all. I'm just saying how quickly it happened. The referee, one of those difficult tackles for the referee to actually pinpoint. So it was up to the bunker to make the call.
Yeah, the bunker had to do it. But in saying that, bunkers have pulled up tackles on tackle one, on tackle six.
Yeah.
It only takes about 45 seconds to get through that. So, I know what you're saying.
I just mean, we got to the call. We eventually got to a call what was, I think it could have been easily sent off.
Definitely.
But we got to that sin binning anyway. Rabdo's had to go without for 10 minutes. They suffered, and rightfully so. They should have. So, my point in saying is that we got to the call that a big majority of the fans agree with, that you guys agree with. Let's play on and move on. Let's put the focus to Ryan Sutton, because it felt like the only person who really cared about Ryan Sutton was the sideline commentary. That was their main focus, was on making sure that, you know.
It has been a long time since we've been in a game that's paused that long for an injury like that and have a player stretched off. So it was quite somber moment.
So he's not named this week, so hopefully, you know, obviously, like you said, the clear, but, you know, hopefully he's actually feeling better, and hopefully we get to see him back next week.
Keep going through our list from last week. Jacob Preston, it doesn't matter if we get beat by 60 or win, he does the same performance. How good of a player is Preston? Talon Mariner getting some runs on the board there. Limited minutes for Flanagan and Penguy Jr. off the bench, though, made a real impact as well.
That's Penguy Jr.'s position.
Yeah.
Is a bench prop, and there's no shame in that because, you know, you've got to keep the momentum or you've got to win back.
Cause impact, yeah.
Yeah, cause impact. Sometimes you've got to, your team's down, and you've got to bring them back into it, or your team's winning. You've got to be moving forward still. You've got to keep that momentum going. So it's a fun role. But Kyle Flanagan, how good was it to see him on the field? I liked it as a fan of the Flan.
Okay, Richard. Well, I think before we move on to talk about some other stuff, I think we've got to talk about the heart attack moment, Scotty.
No, I don't want
to. Bulldogs up by enough to win. I think it was 14. South score a try. No, it would have been more than that. South score a try to close the gap. And you're thinking, okay, there's 3 minutes left on the clock. Bulldogs just need to defend two sets here, but South need two tries. So if we get through one set of defense, the game is over. From the kickoff, bit of a spread from the halfback, Elias, to Talis Duncan, who throws a dummy and then runs the whole field to score a try and really put a shake through the Bulldogs and the fans.
That moment when I watched saw him score, I was like, yeah, we've lost. Like, that's one of those special,
well, I said, yeah.
Special moments where it was almost like, was it the Adam Reynolds, the Roosters game? Yeah. And he returned it off the kickoff, and it was one of those ones on the kickoff where they went the length, and you got to need something special, and they scored that special try for, oh, here we go. Here we go. But we were able to hold on.
Absolutely.
I think with a better side. Well, we're definitely with a better side. I don't think the scoreboard should have been that close.
No. But it just the way we're going lately, you just feel like that's a game that we're going to lose once that Talis Duncan try happened. What a moment for the young player himself. But, yeah, it was quite scary. But then, like, I suppose the opposite emotion came and made the win feel even better when that final penalty was blown. As soon as that arm came up, the cheer went up as loud as the Bulldogs try from the Bulldogs section.
You know, isn't it amazing? Actually, I thought Burton was going to absolutely launch it into an offside South play, by the way. And so, I don't know if you saw that. Like,
I saw that on the mini. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't recall which
to the South. I was in level four, and you know Burton's got a big boot. We were on that side of the sideline. I thought, yeah, I was Jets.
Yeah. It looked like Burton wanted to at full time, a kick for touch, and then play the last play. And it was until the South player kind of standing in his way made him tap it and knock it out was his decision. Because I'm certain he was thinking, let's go for a touch finder and then call it a game at the end. But at one stage, I was worried about the safety. I thought he was going to launch a touch finder into his head or something. And that would have been interesting because then it would have to be another penalty to the Bulldogs, March 10, for being offside from a penalty.
Yeah, I think they were just happy to kick it over.
I thought, yeah, he's going to tap it, just kick it out. I can shake his hand.
Yeah.
Well, but I thought it could have been the most bizarre end if he kicked it into him while I was trying to find a touch finder. He would have been offside either way, even if he tapped it and kicked it into him. But, yeah, Maxi King. Interesting. The play of the balls were, you know, slower as you expect. But they weren't that slow. Max King was getting up to play the ball, trying to keep that average, that play the ball speed average down. I was like, what the hell? Like, you got to take.
Oh, sweet. That's another thing, eh? Demetrio claims that the Bulldogs were laying all over Souths, and Graham Minnesley comes up with the stats showing that the Bulldogs play the ball was slower than the Rabbitohs. Interesting stuff.
It's a classic thing. Sometimes he's a whinger.
Better be careful, eh? Yeah, he's going to the
Ricky
Jeff Tubi area if he keeps going. Anyway, one thing I'll say before we wrap up this little section, though, is that obviously we enjoyed that. Those of us that were there enjoyed the game there. you enjoyed watching the game, getting the win over Souths. And we don't want to make too much of just one game, of course. But obviously it is fun to talk about some positive things. And Souths were a very weakened team, although they did have more NRL experience than us on the field in that game. But they were a weakened team. So obviously we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. Big test this weekend, which we'll talk more about later in the podcast. But fantastic to get the 2 points. And I think it's a win that the club needed, and it's 2 points further away from the Wooden Spoon. I think we're 3 wins clear now of the West Tigers. So.
Season's still alive.
Yeah, I think if we win every game because of the poor differential, we might sneak into eighth. Anyway, let's move to this one's cup, because I'm excited to speak about this as well. Unfortunately, I mentioned a few times that you weren't there. Bulldogs defeated the Rabbitohs 44 points to 16. And it was a real sort of, got so many different thoughts. But let's start off with this. Jonathan Sua made his debut for the club in the New South Wales Cup level and scored 2 tries. We've been following him throughout the flag this year. We try to mention when there's a good performance in the lower grades. Try to mention the standouts, of course. We've mentioned him multiple times in the jersey flag season. He came into this last cup and just looked like he belonged. 11 runs, 125 metres, 3 tackle breaks, 3 line breaks, and obviously the 2 tries. He looks like he was playing outside Hayes Perham, who was playing in the centres. They almost look kind of, from my view, on level 4, body shape-wise, very similar. And obviously, Jonathan is quite young, so I'm sure he'll get bigger over the next couple of years, a couple of pre-seasons and that sort of thing. But fantastic night for Jonathan, I thought, as well. I was watching him very closely because of the fact that I realised it was his debut match, and he's been doing so well in the jersey flag. So he's one definitely to watch out for in the future. I don't know, he might be one of those players that, you know, don't last long in the New South Wales Cup, Scotty. Might come straight through. Don't want to put too much pressure on him, but fantastic performance by Jonathan Sua. I was a bit confused at the start, though, Scotty, with Caleb Rudger playing 5-8 for the NRL last week, and then, or the week before, I should say, and then only getting 38 minutes. Drops back to reserve grade, plays fullback, where the NRL fullback, who's been fullback of the NRL all year, got put into centre. So I was a bit confused about what's the go with that. Maybe that's a sign that Perham at fullback is over. Possibly, yeah. I'm not sure. But Perham had a really great game in the centres. 2 tries himself as well. 2 tries assist. 18 runs for 220 metres. So he played as a man with a point to prove. Alan Roddy, solid performance. 16 runs for 143 metres. Patolo and Hughes really led the team up front quite well. Patolo cracking the 100-metre mark. Bailey Biondiotto is getting back to his best form in the halfback position as well. You know how much I like Bailey Haywood. But yeah, massive win against the Rabbitohs, 44 points to 16 in the New South Wales Cup. Great to see.
It's so good to see. It's good to see, well, I wasn't there to see it, but good to hear, I guess, the performance of Hayes Perham. Yeah. I did see that in the stats. I was keeping the stats on me for the New South Wales Cup one while I wasn't there, because there was no chance for me to watch that anywhere else.
Yep.
Again, but good to see Hayes Perham. Like, I've always said that I was a big fan of his talent. I've never done.
Absolutely. I think we even saw on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, is he more of a centre? I think we had that. We definitely had the conversation. I don't know if it was on the podcast or not.
So sometimes we do some of the better episodes off recording, which is a bit of an issue, but that's for something we need to figure out. But no, but it's good to hear. Rojab, how did he go? How did he shake off?
He played quite well at fullback. Yeah. I don't have the stats on me right here, but stood up. I think he contributed to a couple of tries. Well, himself, there was a lot of tries, which is great. He definitely contributed from the back as well. I don't know if fullback's his best position. I think he is a 5'8". I just don't think he's a 5'8" ready for top grade at the moment. But... Mm-hmm. He definitely had an impact at fullback. And also, I'm a big fan of Joash Papali'i, who's also eligible for jersey flag. So maybe that hinders my opinion. But Rajab, to me, is a 5'8". He had a good game. Everyone had when you win 44-16, it's hard to have a bad game.
Yeah, that's true.
Good to go 2 for 2, though.
I've seen Stadium Australia. Roger play. Did you get a little bit of fullback in the NRL game? Just filling in. For a couple of minutes. Well, I don't know. He seems confident under the high ball, you know. Just what I've noticed, like, he's very quiet in communication. You can really watch this. Like, that's one reason I love watching Reggie's before. You don't get to hear that type of – you get to hear that talk.
We talked about Avarillo running the ball back quickly and having a big impact once he got the ball. I'm not sure if Roger has that as well. Something I look for in a fullback. Anyway, Scotty, I will do the ladders for you this week. This was Cup fullback. First position, this was Cup, is the Bulldogs.
Also known as the fullback position.
On 27 points, 1 point clear of the North Sydney Bears, who we play this week. So top of the table clash for Josh Reynolds' final game.
I don't know. Like, with the emotion, hopefully they don't, sometimes the emotions be negative. If it's going to be a positive, the Bears might be thinking, geez, we got this emotional game to play. They're thinking, geez, this could have been just a blockbuster. We could have just gone out at it and seen who's really the top dog in the competition. But like, if the Bears get blown off the park, I'm not saying they will. Yeah, but no true reflection. They could lose like 60-0. I don't think that'll happen. But you'd just be like, that was for Joshy. And that would be all the things would be for Josh. And all that. Just randomly, Zach Docker Clay, which played his he plays for the Bears. And he debuted at the Bulldogs in the NRL.
The Bears, he might be too. Anyway, moving along to the jersey flag. We got a win over the Melbourne Storm in Victoria by 24 points to 18. That moves us into second position, 3 points clear of the Penrith Panthers, 2 points behind the Sydney Roosters. So good to see the season in the jersey flag going strength to strength. Tell you what, Scotty, fingers crossed, touch wood, could be lifting two trophies this year in the New South Wales competitions there.
I thought you were going to say the NRL is obviously going to make a Parramatta Eels-esque 2009, but win it.
Well, that would be something to see as well. And moving over around the grounds, if you will, to the Queensland Cup, the Clydesdales went down again to the East Brisbane Tigers by 34 points to 18. Clydesdales are now sitting in 11th out of 15 positions. Let's look at the Queensland Cup ladder. They are sitting in 13 out of 15 positions, my apologies, on 8 points. 2 points clear of the Cutters and 6 points clear of the Ipswich Jets.
I was going to say, was there a salary cap scandal in the Queensland Cup?
Okay, well, Scotty, we've alluded to it quite a lot already, but Josh Reynolds' final game, guess what? It's this Saturday, 12:30, Belmore Sports Ground against the North Sydney Bears. Top of the table clash, as we just said.
Hey, look, you'll be there. I'll be there. Don't have a ticket. Just get to Belmore anyway and just enjoy the vibe of the day. Go to the Leagues
Club. Someone threw it, I don't
know. Go to the Leagues Club. Yeah. Go to Joe Bell's Cafe.
Take part in the atmosphere, you reckon?
Yeah, take part in the atmosphere. Being a suburban ground, overall, like, not a fan. I don't know if Josh Reynolds was a marketing man the whole way through and thought, oh, that's a good one to finish off the second game, because this game's not meant to be at Belmore.
Straight to the marketing division for Josh, eh?
I reckon he is, because this game's not meant. If a call was available, this would be at a call. It's because of the World Cup, the Women's World Cup or something. So,
Stars have aligned.
Yeah, the stars have aligned, and Josh Reynolds has known that. He's like, this is a bit early to retire in round three. Got to push through.
The thing we haven't touched on is the reason he's retiring, or part of the reason, is he gave up his top 30 spot to allow the club to sign Toby Sexton to come into the top 30. What a club man that is. Has anyone done more for the club? I know you can talk about on-field stuff and all that, but off-field and heart and passion for the club, the team, how incredible to sacrifice yourself in that way for the betterment of the club.
Yeah, and he even mentioned Bailey Haywood.
Yeah.
Get him closer to the top grade.
Absolutely.
Know him. But you, I know you. A lot of fans have had positive interactions with Josh Reynolds as well. You have stories of him on the field. You got a favorite moment of a try, or a tackle. You know, there's some try-saving tackles that win against Manly. You would have thought that, you know, his heart and soul there. Not talking about. There's been a few good golden point wins against Manly. Not talking about the one where he flipped on his head and got speed tackled. A golden point, and Hodkinson kicked the goal. The one where Turbo let the ball go in between his legs. And who else was there but Josh Reynolds to jump on it? And most NRL players, not so, and it's funny because, you know, NRL players, they're fit, they always push for everything. No one else was there except for Josh Reynolds to score that try. Yeah. So there's stories of him being on the field, off the field, meeting with fans and actually making a special effort to make everyone feel special. And there's been members' days when the members' day shut down, even a fan day at JCAR, where it was shut down and he stayed back an hour and a half after it finished to make sure everyone got his signature and a photo and a chat, like a genuine chat with him. It's a proper thing. So he's a genuine, nice guy.
What a opportunity for the players that will get to take the field with him this weekend.
Yeah, like, Bailey, he's sitting there as Bailey Haywood. Got Rajab, he says a special moment to see him on the bench when he made his top grade debut, where he was 18th man in the NRL. Like, it was a highlight for him. A highlight for him was there. What an opportunity, though. Like, I'm hoping, I don't know, this might be just me thinking fairy tale, but I'm hoping there's about 10,000 people there. Like, I'm hoping it's a massive Newcastle Cup crowd where it's like an NRL, like at least like an NRL type standardish crowd for a lower game type of thing.
Yeah.
Where there's still people around. And wouldn't it be special if the Reynolds chant goes up? And then being the New South Wales Cup player, like that, for some of those players, that's the height they're going to get to from both teams.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So that would be like a moment where even if you're playing the Bears, I was there at Belmore Sports Ground where Reynolds chant went off. They'll get goosebumps too, the Bears players. That's how special it's going to be.
Absolutely. Quite interesting as well to run through the list. Rajab's a fullback. Clay Ward drops back to wing from the NRL. Perham and Alamotti in the centres. Clark on the wing. Reynolds and Bondiano back in the halves. Forwards, Patolo, Gray, Hughes, Hoffman, Edwards and Sirikas. Haywood, Hoppy, Montgomery and Todd on the bench. So fantastic for all those players to get that opportunity to share in that moment with the club, but also, of course, with Josh Reynolds. And yeah, you better believe it. I'll be there early. I don't know, I might camp out the night before, who knows. NRL time, Scotty. The game after that, maybe less attention to it, who knows. Bulldogs versus Broncos. Hopefully we can continue off some of the momentum that we created in the game against Souths last week, the win against Souths last week, and move forward this week as a team and a performance.
Yeah, tough ask, but we've got the Brisbane a little bit lighter than normal. So if we're ever going to do it and knock off the top of the table team, it's now. Could we use a bit of Reynolds motivation? Because I'm sure there'll be a farewell party or function, you know, at the end of the night where hopefully Reynolds gets a lap of honour after the NRL game as well. So maybe a bit of that in the air to carry the thing. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a Reynolds chant while he's watching, because I'm sure Joshy Reynolds will be watching this game and he'll be seen on TV, and I wouldn't surprise if there's a Reynolds chant in that game. So maybe that could spark something as well. And the players after a win makes you feel 10 feet taller. So a bit of belief. Absolutely. I know they can actually win a game.
Absolutely. And the NRL team looks like this. Avarillo's at fullback. Wilson retains his spot after a hat-trick, which I'm glad to see. I was a bit worried that he might lose out with Adekar returning. Adekar is that other winger. In the centres, we've got Burns and Carraz, which I quite like the balance of that back five. Burton and Sexton in the halves again. Forwards, we've got King, Marnie, Fatala, Mariner, Topity, Preston and Waddell. The bench looks like Flanagan, Moran, Pengai Jr. and Ockenbaugh. Reserves this week, Brown, Skelton, Hoffman, Alamotti and Patola.
Well, I even like the reserves.
Yep.
It's like, it looks like to me either Brown or Hoffman are getting 18th man. But, you know, it can change. Doesn't matter because they're not named New South Cup. They could always be dropped back into New South Cup and wear 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever the jersey is. But even like that, like in that reserve list, like Brown can cover a few spots if injuries to go in the half through the week or hooker goes down, he can, or even lock forward. And then Hoffman as well. Second row center.
Yeah.
He definitely can cover some positions. I think he's actually a very underrated player, Reece Hoffman.
Yeah. And I really like the balance of this team, Scotty. And let's throw it straight in there. We know the Broncos are, you know, top team this year. They are a little bit under strength, especially in the forwards. I still think I'm probably leaning towards the Broncos for if I'm being honest. And the back line for the Broncos is very, very scary from a Bulldogs perspective. We said last week that we'd come on the podcast with our 17s and see how we would do things different. I started to do that in preparation for the podcast after seeing the team list announced this week. And I've pretty much scrapped it, Scotty. I know you've got yours, so we'll get through yours in a second. But the reason is I really like this balance. I like Karaz and Burns in the centres. I think that's, you know, strong bodies helping out the back five. Adokar speaks to Adokar. Wilson has made every post a winner at the moment. Avarillo, we talked about him slotting back to fullback and the difference that made. Burden and Sexton, obviously, in the halves. I like the front row. Like, for Talon Mariner playing lock or prop, I don't think there's much of a difference in the way he plays his game, so that's fine by me. Marnie's obviously the hooker. Topany, hallelujah, getting an opportunity. Hopefully an extended opportunity in the second row. Preston, you can argue, has been the player of the year. They've got Waddell at lock. I maybe might have gone with Morin, but I kind of like Morin playing 20, 25 minutes off the bench. I like Ockenbaugh back to the bench. You mentioned earlier more impact in limited game time. So I prefer that over him starting in the second row. Peng Guy Jr. is a one of those impact front rowers off the bench, which is great. And Flanagan can cover a couple of positions. So really, I'm quite happy with that balance. I did think about putting Patolo in for Ockenbaugh, but then you maybe lose a little bit in the sort of on the edges there. Although you could put Morin probably at second row and he'd do a really good job as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's I don't really have much difference at all. I think my main difference would be I would for this week have Harry Edwards play lock. I feel like he hasn't let anyone down at all, and a younger player. So I think that would be the main one. I as much as I love to see Kyle Flanagan back in the side, I think long term, I think someone like Farmy Brown would be a better number 14 on the bench. And I say that because, you know, middle four, he could play a bit of that lock, that linking role, or a bit of hooker as well. Just a bit more versatility out of him. In the half, of course, as well. I what you said about Morin. Morin, to me, I think is a perfect bench player. I would love for him to spend like 10 years at the Bulldogs and just be that bench player, like see if he can break some records of the most interchanged bench player used, because he just brings an energy on every time he gets on the field. Short, but he's got the massive heart and he just pumps his legs. I don't know. For whatever reason, I put Brayden Burns at fullback because I watched him play a trial there and he really impressed me. I would always like to see him have a crack, but in saying that, having Avarillo, I like Karaz at centre. Having Avarillo or Burns, they both need to be in that side. So the balance there, having them both there, because I think they've both been probably our better outside backs this year. I don't think Brayden Burns has played a bad game at all. Every time he's taking that step up to top grade, and I've been calling for him all year to be the starting centres. Now, best centre. So, that's, yeah, pretty much. I mean, we thought we were going to have this massive thing, but isn't it interesting the changes come and a win happens?
Yeah, yeah.
And some changes were called by the fans.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting how it works sometimes. So, that's the way it goes, I guess. But, yeah, I'm quite happy with the balance of the team this week. It's pretty similar to what I go with, like, well, pretty much spot on at the moment. Obviously, players missing and players coming back may change that a bit. But yeah, as of right now, pretty happy with that balance.
Yeah, the only real difference I think would be Flanagan Brown coming at 14. But I did like watching Kyle Flanagan play top grade. I got a soft spot for Flanagan.
Yeah.
I just because he could just cover more positions. But overall, not too upset with what's been what we have this week. I think is as good as we can get, really.
Fair enough. All right. Well, yep. That big idea has come to a quick end. But I guess it's for a good reason, right? We're happy with the team lineup. So it's really good. It's good to see his players starting to be, I guess, rewarded for performance as well. So. Alrighty, apart from that, unless there's anything I've missed, Scotty?
No, I think it's been a good episode.
No breaking news while we record.
Oh, no, this hasn't happened in a while.
It's always a danger. Anyway, Fillmore, Saturday, no excuse not to be there if you're a Bulldogs fan, remember. Unless, of course, all the tickets sold out, but it's all on Fox League as well. So.